JNM After Midnight. All right, welcome back to another smooth, jazzy, and all-around news-breaking episode of NJNM After Midnight. You know what time it is. It's after midnight. What time? After midnight. If you never joined us before, we're in our favorite fictional Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, California, right on the edge of Hollywood. My name's Tyler, and across across from me, is none other than the founder of NotJustNewMovies.com, Ben Pearson. How's it going, Ben?
Tyler, sir, it's been a little while. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, there's not been a lot of news recently, so we're like, might as well record when there's pertinent news to talk about. So
sure.
We're back. Here we are.
Indeed.
And you know, you're going around to these different websites. You don't have to do that anymore. You just tune into NJNM After Midnight, and you get your Ben P. helping of interesting and thought-provoking news articles.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many thoughts we can provoke in this episode. But
I provoke many of thoughts about everything.
I bet.
So I hope our listeners do the same. How's Los Angeles?
LA is good. I was just back in Florida recently for a week doing some preparation for upcoming wedding.
That's why you didn't show up to the restaurant last week.
Right.
It was just me and Yao Dong.
Which one is that again?
Yao Dong. He's the busser that kind of works during the days, but that night I called him in.
Okay.
Because he wasn't working. He only works the days.
Right.
Okay. So he's available at night.
Excellent.
So we talked about movies. We didn't record though.
Right. I wonder if he's as knowledgeable as I am.
He doesn't speak English.
And I'm so not mostly that knowledgeable. So
it was mostly me.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump right into this, shall we?
Sure.
We've got a few news, little news pieces I wanted to talk about. First of all, this one, I just stumbled across this as we were, like, hitting the record button practically for this podcast episode.
Sure.
Have you seen Hot Tub Time Machine, Tyler?
With John Cusack?
Yes.
Rob Corddry?
No, the other Hot Tub Time Machine.
Craig Robinson. Yes, I have, Ben.
Yeah.
All joking aside, seriously, I have seen it.
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
I knew that.
Coming out.
Another Hot Tub Time Machine?
I don't know. Actually, here, I'll get to that in a second, what the possible title would be. Don't know what it is off the top of my head or based on this article that I'm reading. But in any case, Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation has joined the cast of this movie. He's replacing John Cusack as the lead. But Craig Robinson, Clark Duke, and Rob Corddry are all coming back.
Ooh.
So Steve Pink is the director of the first movie. He's also coming back to direct. Sounds kind of like a direct-to-DVD thing.
It
but
really does, where they do those sequels that don't feature the original
right.
character.
That's but what I was thinking. I believe it's going to be theatrical. Everything that I can gather, this is going to be a full theatrical release. But in any case, Rob Corddry apparently went on the Howard Stern show recently and revealed that Adam Scott's going to be playing the son of John Cusack's character and the hot tub again. I was going to say the hot tub again sends them into the future, but that's actually different. In the first Hot Tub Time Machine movie, the hot tub sent them into the past back in the 1980s. This time, apparently, it's sending them into the future. We don't know, when exactly, but apparently they're taking the Back to the Future model here, and I'm really hoping that we get a Hot Tub Time Machine 3 in which they go to the Old West.
Go back to the Old West, sure.
Right.
With Marty McFly as the Biff character.
Let me see here. This is what I'm talking about. Like, I just stumbled across this article. I haven't even read it in full yet. Apparently, it is going to take place 10 years in the future, so there's that.
Wait, 10 years from the first movie, or 10 years into their future?
That is unclear. I believe 10 years from the present, when it's released, maybe? I don't know.
10 years isn't really that long of a time.
It's not. It's not at all.
Because I think Marty McFly went 30 years into the future.
I think you're correct on that.
1985 to 2015.
Yes.
You better believe I'm right about that.
Yeah. So apparently there's Anyway, I'm not going to ruin the jokes or whatever, but Rob Corddry said that the tentative title used to be Hot Tub Time Machine 3, colon, because Hot Tub Time Machine 2 hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I heard him make that joke.
But the marketing department apparently was not pleased with that and forced them to change it. So I guess as of right now, it's just Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Really, I just kind of wanted to bring up the fact that Adam Scott is going to be in a Hot Tub Time Machine movie, and just the simple fact that they're making another one of these when the first one wasn't really that big of a hit. So I don't know.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it wasn't a hit, though.
It had its moments. The concept was, amusing. But Chevy Chase, if I recall correctly, was like a soul-sucking black hole in that movie of comedy. It was just not funny at all.
Ouch.
And
Chevy Chase is right here with us.
Chevy frequents the other Chinese restaurant in L.A.
Sorry, Chevy.
Don't worry about that. Anyway, just wanted to briefly mention that and then move on to something... arguably more ridiculous. No, definitely more ridiculous. Tyler, I don't know if you know this, but it was announced this past Monday that the restaurant Medieval Times is now being turned into a movie. Did you hear about this?
Sorry, Ben. I just tried to leave the restaurant, but apparently the doors are locked. I was going to walk out on this news.
I know. I just can't fathom how the depths of ideas in human society have been like I don't even know, the depths of ideas have been plumbed to such a degree that there is nothing left, and now restaurants are getting filmed.
Just some studio executive went there for like the first time. He's just like, oh my god, this is a movie. And everyone's like, it's been around for like 25 years, dude. No, I'm spending the studio's money, it's billions of dollars, on making a Medieval Times movie. You don't need a movie about a dinner theater that is about Medieval Times. You can just skip over the dinner theater part.
Yep.
And just make a movie about Medieval Times, like
exactly
the era. Like, the whole point of Medieval Times is that it's just a dinner theater about Medieval Times. You have the capability. So they're just going to do, like, what, the different colored knights? Does it take entirely inside, like, a warehouse covered in hay?
It's very early on in this process. The article, the reason I found out about this is my colleague at firstshowing.net wrote an article about it, and he points out that there was a very famous scene in The Cable Guy in which Jim Carrey gets into costume, becomes one of the knights basically, and does the whole jousting thing with Ben Stiller. And that scene is fairly ridiculous. And also, yeah, like you said, Medieval Times has been around for a long freaking time. The Cable Guy itself came out in 1996 or something. So it's like, this is, or maybe 98, I don't know. But, that's like, why now for this?
Those of you that like tourist traps.
Yeah, and it's...
from the makers of the largest ball of yarn.
The article at First Showing says, it's unclear just how the restaurant will be used to craft a story for a feature-length film, but it will likely involve the tournament between knights that involves jousting, horsemanship, and falconry that serves as entertainment during the falconry style meal. So, yeah, I'm really hoping...
they should make the Will Forte character, the falconer, into a movie, but what do I know?
Hmm.
That was a Saturday Night Live skit where he would call his falcon.
Yeah, and this article also suggests that maybe they could do something along the lines of like Tropic Thunder, where it's people who are pretending to be, like the actors who play the knights in Medieval Times, like suddenly get transported back to the actual Medieval Times or something like that.
No, don't like it.
So
you had me for a second where I thought the movie was going to be about the people who actually are in Medieval Times. Like, that's the setting. Like a 40-year-old virgin where they all work at that sales place, that electronics store.
Right, yeah.
Instead, it's just the group of characters who work at that dinner theater.
Yeah, and I don't know. Who knows? If
the Judd Apatow film waiting to happen.
It kind of is, really. It sounds very much like something that he would do, so... I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. Hopefully, this will be just another one of the stories that, you know, gets announced and then nothing ever comes of it. But
no, Ben, they did make Battleship. Remember, they did make Battleship.
Battleship.
They still they still making like Clue.
I don't know. I think Battleship did so poorly that Scrabble. all board game adaptations at this point are like
The Boggler.
Let's think about this. The Boggler.
With a sidekick, Yahtzee.
Just pick
the most mundane games possible and make a movie out of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's a contest right there. There's a TV show. Who can make the shittiest movie?
Yeah, and I mean, I remember reporting on a story one time that the Hungry Hungry Hippos movie is actually in development. Like, legitimately, you know, there have been parody videos on YouTube and stuff of that as a movie. But some studio is actively developing a Hungry Hungry Hippos movie right now.
So yeah, they're not self-aware. They have no idea that everyone is making fun of them.
Yeah.
Large disconnect between art and audience.
Yeah, next little bit here is that, and you might have actually seen the original. I've never seen this movie. Have you ever seen Toxic Avenger?
Oh, no, I have not, but I know the news that you're bringing up.
Yes, so the Toxic Avenger is a 1980s Troma film, and Troma is, you know, this company that does really super low budget, kind of cult classic movies.
Nukem High.
Yeah, Class of Nukem High, right? Which I think you did a review of at notjustnewmovies.com. Go check that out. But Toxic Avenger, I feel like, is the kind of flagship movie of Troma. Is that fair to say? I feel like you know a little bit more about the Troma world than I do.
I know a percentage of a percentage point more than I think you do. But I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
That is the, I think they made like 3 or 4 and a cartoon series.
Yeah,
of Toxic Avenger.
I do remember the TV series being on when we were younger, and I've never watched it. I've never seen anything involving the Toxic Avenger. But anyway, the news that I wanted to bring up is...
So we're well qualified to present this news.
Yeah, absolutely. We have so much context we can bring in, so much depth. But Arnold Schwarzenegger is in talks for a lead role in this movie, but it's not going to be the role of the Toxic Avenger, who apparently is like a 98-pound guy who
he carries a mop around, I believe.
Yeah, I'm gonna look this up.
Is he mentally handicapped? I think that might be part of the story.
I'm gonna Wikipedia this real quick. I should have looked this up beforehand, but okay. So
I think he cleans up. Or his goal is to clean up, like to mop and clean up the world, but he was created by toxins. And I think when he cleans up, he only ever leaves toxins. So he's completely the antagonist, I would think, in the eco-friendly message of Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, so there's this 98-pound guy who works as a janitor at a health club in New Jersey, and that's like the main character.
Pain and Gain, too.
He gets like constantly picked on because of his size, presumably. Oh, he's a weakling, they say.
Is there to pump him up.
A group of people trick him into wearing a pink tutu and kissing a sheep. And he's basically, he jumps out of a second story window to escape these people who are messing with him. And he lands in a drum of toxic waste. Causes severe burns and disfigurement, and he bursts into flames.
Not looking good for the Toxic Avenger.
Basically, he gains superhuman size and strength out of this, and then it comes out of nowhere and ends up becoming this sort of monster hero. So in any case, that is not the role that Arnold Schwarzenegger is in talks to play. He's supposed to be the exterminator, a former Black Ops agent who trains the Toxic Avenger to use his powers for good. I don't even know what to say about this, Tyler.
Exterminator.
It's like Terminator is in the word. It's the same.
Has he retired from being the Terminator in this world, or he's the X Terminator?
Oh,
maybe you're just reading it wrong.
Nice. Oh,
I don't
man.
Do that anymore. on the but exterminator.
Like, I think I read an article about this at filmdrunk.com, and that's probably where you heard about it too, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And
hi, Vince.
Vince made a good point over there, and he was like, the Toxic Avenger, like, the whole reason it exists or we even know about it is because it's a cult classic, which means, you know, it gained fans and everything because of midnight showings, and it's like so obscure and so niche and so kind of ridiculous that it gained this kind of fervent group of supporters. If it was a mainstream movie, which is what they're trying to do with this remake, like turn it into a mainstream thing, like it never would have earned the following that it has.
Sure.
So making a mainstream,
Evil Dead.
Yeah, to some degree, I think so. Making a mainstream remake, first of all, makes no sense. And second of all, bringing Arnold Schwarzenegger into it, like, I don't know. It just, this whole thing just confounds me to no end.
It's a crossover. Maybe it's crossover with the Terminator franchise. Maybe Arnold thinks it's Terminator 5.
Maybe he does, and that actually would make more sense as to, like, why he's even involved with this. He's like, he sees... They pitched him, like, hey, do you want to play the Exterminator? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
I heard you all the way to Terminator. I say yes.
All right,
I'll do it now.
Enough about that.
Put to the top.
Speaking of, like, ill-advised remakes and huge movie stars.
Oh, boy.
Will Smith is apparently in talks to star in and produce a remake of The Wild Bunch.
Here we go.
Classic Western from 1969. Do you sound excited about that?
I don't know. They need to make more Westerns.
I agree that they need to make more Westerns. The Wild Bunch, I feel like, is one of those maybe untouchable ones where it's just like, it was such a seminal movie in the 1960s. Like, that movie is iconic in not only in the fact that it had like a great cast and everything, but also that the way, the actual filmmaking itself, Sam Peckinpah directed that movie, there was like insane amounts of violence for the time that really kind of shook people up when they saw it, and the editing style was different. I feel like they used slow motion more regularly than any other film at that time, or certainly most other films at that time. It's one of those movies that like works because of the time that it was released. It's very much like intertwined with its release date, I think. Something along the lines of maybe like a Bonnie and Clyde or something. I think they tried to do a remake of that with like Hilary Duff as Bonnie or something insane. Anyway, Will Smith is, I guess, in talks to produce and star in this this remake, which I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I've never seen The Wild Bunch.
Oh, I thought we watched it, like, years ago.
We saw The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, and it sounds, you know, I haven't seen The Wild Bunch in, like, 10 or 15 years or something, and we saw Magnificent Seven probably 6 years ago or something like that. And I remember really liking The Magnificent Seven. I remember not liking The Wild Bunch as much, but another big Scientology-infused mega A-list star, Tom Cruise, has apparently been kind of attached to a remake of The Magnificent Seven for a number of years. So maybe now that Will Smith is doing this Wild Bunch remake, Tom Cruise will abandon The Magnificent Seven and kind of slide over into one of these supporting roles.
We can have a Scientology-themed Western, finally.
Right, yeah.
Where they fight aliens. Oh, wait. That's Cowboys vs. Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I should just like present that information without comment, because I haven't seen The Wild Bunch recently enough to really know that much about it, other than the general stuff that I mentioned about how it kind of is associated very much with the time it was released. But
it should make new Westerns.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
Instead
of remaking movies.
If you're gonna do it, just, and especially with Will Smith, with Wild Wild West in his past, it's like, dude, come on. Like, Will Smith famously passed on the lead role in Django Unchained, Quentin Tarantino's movie from last year, because he didn't think that, you saw Django, right?
No.
You didn't? Oh, wow, okay. First of all, that's a fantastic movie, you should definitely see it. Especially if you like Westerns, it's really great. He passed on Django, even though the legend has it that Tarantino wrote the role specifically for him, and Jamie Foxx ended up taking on it. He actually did a pretty good job.
Didn't Will Smith want to change the title to, like, Django Chained?
No, I don't think that's the case, but he didn't...
I thought it was something like that.
He didn't like the part because he didn't feel like it was a lead role, like a true lead, because Christoph Waltz, who played Dr. King Schultz in the movie and won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for Inglourious Basterds a few years ago.
And won one for Django Unchained.
Right, yes. Yes, that's also accurate. he kind of steals the movie. Even though Django is the main character, Dr. King Schultz has a lot to do in the movie as well. So anyway, apparently Will Smith
got to unchain him first.
Frightened of being upstaged. But the concept of why he would turn down Django Unchained, which is like already kind of an iconic movie. It's a Tarantino film. It's, you know, a lot more dangerous and kind of interesting than a lot of the stuff that Will Smith has been doing over the past few years. Oh, great. A movie, another movie with his son. Oh, great. A Men in Black, a third Men in Black sequel, blah, 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 whatever. Like, who cares? I feel like that was the opportunity that Will had to become, like, relevant again and like, interesting again. And he passed it up. And now he's talking about doing a remake of The Wild Bunch, which is an ensemble piece, and maybe even more so than Django Unchained was. So he wants to be a lead role in an ensemble ensemble Western that's not Django Unchained. I don't know. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So.
Well, the question I have, Ben,
yes,
is will the Toxic Avenger be in the Wild Bunch? Is he one of the Wild Bunches?
I don't know.
Bunchers.
That is
Wild Bunchers.
I mean, I feel like with the way that Marvel has changed the cinematic landscape with the Avengers and the way that they have kind of made crossovers, something that have been cool in comics for years and years and years, made that into like a viable option when it comes to major filmmaking. I feel like we might actually start to see some more of that stuff. Crossovers in movies and franchises joining up and things like that. So
you know what I watched recently, which wasn't that bad?
What?
Freddy versus Jason.
Man,
that's a crossover right there.
That is a crossover, and you know, the non-Marvel crossovers of main characters like that traditionally have not fared too well.
So Marvel can only do crossovers?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying it's not that bad.
I remember seeing Freddy vs. Jason in theaters and thinking it was really, really bad. Although,
maybe if you've seen all of those movies, it's not that bad.
That's the thing. I hadn't seen maybe any of the Nightmare Before Elm Street or Friday the 13th movies.
If you've never seen Friday the 13th Part 7, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But this one, it's okay. It was the last in-canon appearance of both Freddy and Jason because a couple years later, I guess it was such a failure for I don't know what reason, they decided to reboot both Freddy and Jason into even more subpar films than Freddy vs. Jason.
You know what they need to do now, though, is do another Freddy vs. Jason where it's the remake version of them.
Oh, God. And Iron Man.
I bet it's going to happen.
I feel like Rob Zombie just... I know he's only done, like, Halloween, but I always associate Rob Zombie with all of those remakes. So maybe...
It's actually... Like, Michael Bay should be more associated with them because his production company, Platinum Dunes, that's the studio or the production company that's behind, like, all of those.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I think they need to bring Robert Englund out of retirement, wherever he is, and get him back in that Freddy sweater.
I'm sure he's just, like, stuck in the middle of a comic convention hall somewhere.
Sure.
Signing autographs.
Or he's making tons of dough.
He probably is, actually. I feel like those guys, what do they charge, like $50 for an autograph or a picture or something? It's absurd.
Then you gotta get a picture, and then you may get to have lunch with them. You gotta pay for that. I think the Star Trek crew came to MegaCon. It was all the Next Generation, so you had, like, Patrick Stewart, LeVar Burton, like all those guys.
Right.
And not only did you have to buy a ticket to the convention, you also had to pay like $100 to go to like the panel that they were at.
Jeez.
And then you had to pay like another something $100 to go for like lunch. It was like lunch with Sir Patrick Stewart. It was like a $400 or $500 package. And it was just ridiculous how much money they make up. And you would think like, because we've gone to those and those people are such dicks. Like some of those celebrities, they just treat you like shit. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm not visiting you or giving you any money for what you call a signature.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like you don't always want to meet your heroes. Like a lot of times you'll be disappointed.
If anybody paid me to show up anywhere, I would be there with like a jetpack on and like a plastic surgery smile, just so I know that everyone is aware of how happy I am to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget that jetpack.
But I mean, I guess to be somewhat, you know, to play devil's advocate, these guys have probably been doing this for, what, 20 years at this point, the next generation crew?
Yeah, it's a job.
Something like that, but yeah, anyway, that's a whole separate topic, but
find out next time on After Midnight when we talk about the next generation's journey from show to shit.
No. The last thing that I wanted to mention is, I don't know, this probably isn't going to do us much good if you haven't seen this. I probably should have asked you beforehand if you had seen this trailer.
That's okay. I'll make up something.
There's a new trailer for Pacific Rim that came out today. Did you see it by any chance?
Oh, the robot fight movie?
Yes.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the movie?
Right.
Not the one with Wolverine in it?
Not Real Steel, no.
Real Steel, that's right.
I assume you haven't seen
it. I have not seen it, no.
Today. Okay. What are your thoughts on Pacific Rim? Because I feel like, not to pigeonhole you specifically, but like you, me, us, we are the audience that Warner Bros. Is trying to go for here to some degree. I mean, I feel like it's also a younger, you know, like 15-year-olds and stuff like that too. Right. But we are very much in the highly elusive 18 to 34 year old bracket or whatever that studios are always trying to go after. Have you seen any of the marketing materials for Pacific Rim? Have you seen the trailers and stuff?
I've seen trailers, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll let you know, when I saw Power Rangers back in 1995, it's not amazing now, but back then when the Zords fight,
mm-hmm.
that was pretty sweet. But now that I'm 20 something,
mm-hmm.
not that cool.
Okay.
Especially when you're aware of the, like, just the, I don't want to say like the technological stuff, because that could all be real, but just the unnecessary effort it takes to make robots that big. Does that make sense?
Are you talking about like within the context of the story, like how long it must have taken a crew of people to build a robot that large?
Yeah, because the monsters like come out of nowhere, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden these robots show up as if...
Wait, are you talking about Power Rangers or Pacific Rim now?
Both.
Okay.
Both stories work. No, okay. Pacific Rim. And aren't the robots already ready? That's the thing. They're like,
you
gotta get these robots out.
No, the story, from what I can gather at Pacific Rim, is that the monsters rise from the Pacific Ocean, where they've laid dormant for generations, and they attack like multiple cities around the globe, and then in response, the humans build these Jaegers, is what they're called. Giants.
Oh, so while monsters are attacking, they take the time to build the robots?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, that makes it even more complicated for me.
Right.
But then you also see like the intricacies of the robots,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which, again, may be great for those people who put all that together. But again, as an audience member, don't care too much.
Well, I mean,
I don't need
not...
to see all the sprockets spinning. I just want to see robots come out of nowhere.
It's not intricate in the same way that the Power Rangers Zords were intricate, and in which they like
which weren't morphed... that intricate to begin with.
Well, they morphed into animals for some reason, but they were still robots. Like that, talk about making no sense. Like,
yeah, the robots. Yeah, they were animal robots, and then the robots formed a super
right. robot. Yeah, but it's like, what is the point of having a saber-toothed tiger themed robot, like just on its own? It makes no sense.
I think it had guns strapped to its back. While it was running, it could fire a gun. But the monsters were always so powerful that that never really hurt them. So that
To go Zord to beat them.
And see, the rules were you couldn't jump straight to Zord. You had to wait until the battle escalated to use the Zord.
Yeah, but in any case, I feel like the Pacific Rim Jaegers are designed in such a way, maybe similar to Iron Man 3, like themed to some degree, I think, from what I can gather.
So there's like a pterodactyl and a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Well, no, not in that. not in prehistoric animal shapes.
Has the battle escalated to a point where the humans have to use these robots?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so they're using them with the utmost honor?
I think that's the only way that they're able to preserve the human race. Otherwise, these monsters would just completely wipe them out. But anyway, we're so far beyond...
Do the monsters build robots as well to fight the human-built robots?
Maybe they do. I don't know the answer to that. If they do, that would be amazing and a perfect setup for the sequel. Because then you could bring in, like, then the possibilities would be endless. I mean, you could bring in, like, an alien race who helps the humans build the robots to counter the aliens, or the monsters' robot. It's just a whole,
Atlantic lot. Rim?
Indian
Ocean Rim?
It's not even that original, but possibly could be the real title of the sequel if they make one.
Oh my god, they've moved into the Atlantic.
So you haven't actually answered my question. You think that, maybe I never even got around to asking the question, but do the marketing materials for Pacific Rim make you want to see the movie?
No, they do not.
No? Really?
I think I explained why. Unless it's...
Just because of the intricacies of the robots and the fact that
possibly.
In context you can't fathom how these people would...
It was a lot of close-up camera work, you know, where it's like what you see is only like the arm of the robot. Like if they zoomed out a little bit to show.
Oh, they
something, do.
Do
they?
They do.
Yeah. You haven't seen enough then.
I think Guillermo del Toro is directing this movie.
I feel like it's Battleship. Is that in that Battleship?
Battleship? No, there's none.
Didn't they fight aliens in Battleship?
They did fight aliens, but these aren't technically aliens, they're monsters, but, I mean...
My gosh.
But the aliens in Battleship were, like, totally different than...
Weren't they robot aliens? Weren't they, like, technologically savvy?
Yes, but the robots in Pacific Rim are human constructions,
So wait, what did they use to fight the aliens in Battleship? Just the battleships?
Battleships, yeah, just like...
There were no robots on the human side.
No, right, yeah. Okay. No, it's all just...
Maybe it would have helped had I seen Battleship, so that I can make a better analogy.
Okay. All right, yeah.
I just know it's a terrible movie, so I use it as my current example of a terrible movie.
Okay, well, that's what we're all about here. Anyway, Tyler, I think you should watch the main trailer that came out today for Pacific Rim. It's pretty fantastic. Even though you are not sold, I'm definitely sold on this. Just because it's like, it really does appeal to the part of you that is, or the part of the royal you, that is just, you know, like a kid where you're like, you would play with toys as a kid in robots and, you know, Transformers or whatever and grab them and make them grab pens from your desk and smash things with it and whatever. And it's like in this trailer, it ends with one of the Jaegers, the giant robots, grabbing a full-size cruise ship and or like a tanker ship or something and beating a monster across the face with it like a baseball bat. And it's just like those are the kind of moments that I know that that Guillermo del Toro is holding back a lot of those kinds of things because he wants there to be surprises in the movie. So if that's the kind of thing that they show in the trailer to get people interested, I can't wait to see what kind of ridiculous things are actually in the movie itself. But I don't know.
What kind of PR is that cruise company going to have to do to reverse the effects of that?
Yeah, I think...
I'd like to apologize to our guests who have been picked up by a huge robot and smashed into an alien.
Okay, maybe it's more of a tanker ship.
Carnival
because
cruise.
I'd like thinking about it, you know, taking a second kind of embedding
myself. I'll see it if it's a cruise ship.
Well, embedding myself into the context of the world, when there's a monster invasion where entire cities are being destroyed, I don't know if cruise ships would be functioning at that time. You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
That's like, the best time to go on a cruise.
Let's go on a vacation where we're floating around above where all of these monsters are emerging, and any of them could, you know, come up and kill us at any second.
I am so stressed. We need a cruise. And then, like, Q2, that next scene where they're just, like, picked up.
Yeah.
And the husband and wife are yelling at each other. I knew this was a bad idea.
Man, that sounds like a Transformers joke right there.
There you go. I just wrote Atlantic Rim.
So yeah, that's it. That's all the.
So check out that trailer. Is basically what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. And I think you'll be, if not 100% convinced, then you'll nod your head and say, okay, all right, I see what you're coming from. So
I believe you.
I encourage people to check that out. You can do it at firstshowing.net. It's up there if you want to check that out, or you can go to geeknation.com, find it there too. It's probably on every movie blog at this point. So.
Yeah, Ben, why don't you tell us about the other news sites that our listeners can find you at, not only at notjustnewmovies.com, but where else?
Yeah, you can find all of my reviews at notjustnewmovies.com. I also have a bit of a sad announcement. You previously, up until this time, you could have also found all of my reviews at filmonic.com. I am no longer writing for that website. You know, it's fine. Everything's all good. They just can't afford to pay me anymore. So they were like, you can keep writing for free if you want, but we totally get it if you want to go elsewhere. I was like, yeah, I appreciate it, but I kind of have to make a living. So all of my previous reviews, I don't know, reviews from, let's see, January of 2010 and until today can be found at filmonic.com, but that's it. So if you really want to see my reviews, it's the exact same content. It's at notjustnewmovies.com, so just go there, and you can check that out. I also write occasionally at firstshowing.net, not really that much, like maybe once a week or something at this point. And then most of my stuff these days you can find at geeknation.com. So that's where you can find me. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears. You want to do that, and yeah, I don't know, Tyler, do you? Nothing?
I don't do anything, man.
Don't do anything.
Okay. I try to help you with these podcasts, and you know, lurch around the streets trying to find another place when the Chinese restaurant won't keep me anymore.
Yep. Okay.
That's what I do.
I'll be
here though every week after midnight, NJNM after midnight. The next time you want your weekly dish of cinematic journalism, why don't you stay up late with us? Safe journeys, listeners.
Safe journeys.